Blog Talk Radio.
You don't need another political uprising. We don't need another conqueror on the scene. What we need is a special word that will burn within our hearts and give us direction from above. One word from the Lord will move all the doubts and cause the sun to shine and give peace of mind. Speak, Lord, thy wisdom and thy understanding. Though we lack the very love you show in the sun, Lord, we walk today in thy ways and we stand so much to gain. So give us your word, Lord.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Seeing Clearly in Dark Times. This is your program host, Brenda K. Sanders. Thank you for tuning in to the program once again. Well, in case you don't know, and I know now, I believe this is the month of April, and I've been on the air with this program for 3 years, three straight years. I started the broadcast in April of 2012. And when I started the broadcast, by the way, I formerly had broadcasted in radio, and I found that I wanted to utilize some skills ministerially that God had given me, and of course, I formerly was educated in ministry, and I wanted to make use of those skills on a regular basis, I felt that it was my obligation to do so unto the Lord. And so it's my dedicating myself to the Lord to share some of my experiences and to talk to people about their spiritual beliefs and things that can help us in the Word of God. It can help us go from day to day. This is a motivational outreach radio program where I use the Bible. I use my personal experiences. I may use some of your testimonies that I have heard, that you told Tora, that I have become aware of, to bring a positive message about endurance, about enduring through tough times, rough times, whatever it may be, dark situations. What do I mean by endurance? I mean standing in difficult situations, standing when you are attacked by the devil, standing when you are slandered by the devil, standing against your enemies. And God promises that we will prevail if we faint not. Satan does not want us to win anything. He wants us to lose. But we serve a God that will not fail us. It may look like Satan is winning, but actually he is losing. St. John 10:10 provides this. It says, "For the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come. I am come that they might." And you know what? When I was looking at the scripture today, I never saw that might word there before. That might word kind of jumped out at me today when I was reading it. It says, "I have come that they might." And that's not just for you, not just for me. He says they. And so that is for anyone that partakes of the word and stands on his promises, they might have life. Now, why did I and I just want to shortly park here one moment, might. That might struck me today because you know what it suggested to me? That if you are one, if you're going to have a victory, if you're going to prevail, if you're going to have any blessings in life, you're going to have to go through what God told you to do. That's why he said might have life, because, I mean, there's so many people that turn away. They don't want to do what God says to do. They don't want to sacrifice or live sacrificially so that they can recover God's blessing. So he says might. He didn't say you're going to do it no matter what. You're going to have life. He says you might have life. So there are some conditions now to having the life. And that they might, there we go again, have it more abundantly. So there's a possibility that you can have life more abundantly and that you can have it, period. But if you don't endure, if you don't stand against the wiles of the devil, you will not have those blessings. You will not fulfill that promise that God made to us in St. John 10:10. Well, moving on to I call this is my scripture for 2015. It says in Psalm 37:25 that I have been young and now am old. Well, let me just change that a little bit. I'm going to say that I've been young and now I'm still young and I'm a little older. And yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken. And that in the Amplified Version is uncompromisingly righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So that promise extends not only to the uncompromisingly righteous person, but to his children as well. And in 1 Corinthians 13:12, this is the same scripture for the program I quoted every time I do this broadcast. And if this is the Amplified Version, it says, "For now, we are looking in a mirror that gives only a dim, a blurred reflection of reality, as in a riddle or enigma. But then when perfection comes, we shall see in reality and face to face. Now I know in part imperfectly, but then I shall know. I shall know and understand fully and clearly, even in the same manner as I have been fully and clearly known and understood by God. Let me tell you something. There is a big promise right there. That's why I themed this program with that scripture, because we don't understand all the time our circumstances. I mean, there are elements and things going on, and it shades and skews our vision of circumstances. And sometimes there's a time element in there, a patience element in that, until that perfection comes when we shall see God face to face and know really what's going on. And I say it every time I talk about this scripture, but face to face is something else. Hello. You're going to get the truth face to face, or you're going to get the truth face to face. I mean, if you were under some kind of, you know, impression and it's wrong, I mean, you know, people date on the internet and then they get together and they get to talking and looking at each other, and they're like, this is not what I thought. But that's how it is with God. I mean, when we come face-to-face to his reality about things, I mean, they're probably truths that he was trying to communicate to us all along, and, you know, things get in the way where we're not really looking, and we don't want to. Sometimes we don't like to see the truth about our situations, especially if it's negative or something we don't want to, you know, hear the truth about. But in any event, he has promised that if we come closer to him, we're going to come out of that dark glass and actually see clearly and fully as he sees things. And that's really all I like in life, desire, is to go the way he tells me to go. Because I've been so many directions where it was indeed the wrong direction. I had to do a detour, come back to where I was. It's not so pleasant. So I have learned, seek out the will of God, and so that I can see fully and clearly. Well, I have entitled this broadcast, Speaking with Your Heart, and I have looked at the story of Hannah here in 1 Samuel to review. And this is a situation where, you know, I talked previously about how out of the abundance of our heart, the mouth does the talking, okay? The mouth is the mechanism. But in this story with Hannah, you know, she has some troubles, and this is the worst kind of situation. It's a triangle relationship, and so I'm going to be talking about that here in this broadcast and the next broadcast, about triangle relationships. I mean, this woman was going through something. She really was, and her husband had another woman. I don't know who was married first. Somebody married somebody, and the trouble that it causes. I mean, I'm looking in the scripture here where Elkanah asked Hannah, why are you grieving? You see, it depends on who has the two, okay? The person that has the two is happy. Happy. Oh, you got everything you want. You have the cake, the ice cream, and the pie, like my mom used to say. And so they don't see. They can't see that. But with Peninnah, who's the other woman other than Hannah, there was rage. There was jealousy. There was anger and vexation. And it's a horrible situation. I tell you that. You know, don't get me wrong when I say this, but I like to look at The Bachelor and The Bachelorette when it comes on TV. I really like the show. But I sometimes look at the participants and I'm like, how can they endure? Because I know there has to be so much jealousy and rivalry and, you know, which really leads to confusion and hatred and persecution and so forth. I mean, they really keep their composure if you really look at it. That show every season it comes on, And I'm about to give my own personal testimony about jealousy, being in a relationship and jealousy. I remember in my early 20s, I was in my early 20s, still young, and I was in a relationship, okay? And I was spurred, jealousy was spurred within me. I know the situation, I know why. Wasn't necessarily another woman, it was some other intrusion. But let me tell you, I did not like jealousy. And the people that possess a spirit of jealousy, and it is a spirit, I'm going to read the scripture here if I get down here fast enough to the bottom of the page. Jealousy is a spirit. First of all, it is an evil spirit. It is contrite. It is angry. It is just a spirit that you don't really feel good about yourself, and you are easily intimidated and harassed. And then you want to turn around and cause that feeling to someone else. But my testimony is about jealousy, is that it can be controlled. Because once I realized that relationship ended, and when it ended so abruptly that it didn't give me a chance to adjust to why it ended. But when I did and found that I was the reason for it ending, I made a vow to my God. I said, you know, I will never feel jealousy again. And if I feel it, I'm going to control it. I'm going to pray. I'm going to turn away from it because it's such an evil spirit. It's such an evil, divisive spirit. And let me tell you something. I can prove to you right now that a spirit of jealousy can be controlled, because if you look at this Bachelor and Bachelorette show, they get jealous, but they don't get crazy. Because they can't. They control your emotion, and it really is an emotional spirit, but it can become demonic and satanic, where that jealous spirit, like with Saul and David, you know, that was his employer. It was David's employer. And he was jealous of David. And he had an evil spirit on him because of it. And he could not stop. And it ended in his own. He persecuted David because of it. And it ended in his own demise, because he could not see that that evil spirit was causing harm, not only to himself, but to others. And, of course, to David. But God delivered David out of it. God promised he was going to deliver him, and he did. If you look at the Psalms that David wrote while he was going through this exercise in persecution, in jealousy and envy, he was given the word of the Lord by the Lord that he was going to be delivered, and he was going to prevail over his circumstances. Well, the same was here with Hannah. And sometimes, if you're out there, God will place you in a circumstance where you're persecuted because of jealousy, because of envy, because of hatred, and then God will deliver you from it. And then you have to control your own jealousy and your own envy, because if you get involved in it, then that just doubles the negative circumstances. Well, here's another example of someone controlling their jealousy. It's Hannah. Hannah, you know, here, you know, you don't see her doing anything to lash out against Peninnah. And let me read the scripture. I'm going to probably read a good bit of it right now. I'm starting in 1 Samuel chapter 1. It says, there was a certain man, a Ramatham Sophim, of the hill country of Ephraim, named Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Yusuf, an Ephraimite. Now, if I mispronounced that, excuse me. It says he had two wives, one named Hannah, and the other named Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. And by the way, I am reading from the Amplified version of the scripture. It says, this man went from his city year by year to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where Hophni and the Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were the Lord's priests. Well, I'm going to submit to you he had to, because I know he had some turmoil in his life with two wives. One had children, and I don't know how many children there were, but I know if we read on in the scripture, it's going to reveal that he had sons, and he also had daughters by this one wife. The other wife had no children. That was Hannah. In verse 4 of First Samuel chapter 1, it says, When the day came that Elkanah, that was the husband, sacrificed, he would give to Peninnah his wife and all his sons and daughters portions of the sacrificial meat. Well, I know he was doing celebrating. It was a ritual, spiritual ritual of cleansing, forgiveness, and whatsoever. But I would submit to you today that Elkanah needed it, because he was in a relationship that really, it was spoiled from the beginning. Now, back in those days, they allowed these triangle relationships, allowed the man to have more than one wife, and so forth. And as I always say and admonish the men in this day, don't even try it. But in verse 5, it says, but to Hannah he gave a double portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had given her no children. This is what I surmise about the situation of Peninnah. When you look at Elkanah, he was not in love with Peninnah. And I know that from reading verse 4, when the day came that Elkanah sacrificed, he would give to Peninnah his wife and all her sons, listen to this, all her sons and daughters, portions of the sacrificial meat. Nothing like being in a marriage where you are not loved. Or when you're in a relationship with someone you don't love, and you know you don't love them, that is misery. And I'm sure it's misery for the other person that knows they're not loved. It's misery. She was there for the sole purpose. Maybe she was a surrogate or something. But she was married to Elkanah. But she had these sons and daughters by him. But he said this, I'm making this sacrifice for all your sons and daughters. That don't sound like love to me at all. At all. But when it came to Hannah, in verse 5, it says, but to Hannah, he gave a double portion, for he loved Hannah. Well, I know he loved Hannah. First, he was given to her. Love does give. It does. It gives. And he gave her a double portion of what he gave Peninnah. He tried to make up for all the, I guess, confusion and hatred and jealousy and, you know, and the fact that he very much truly loved Hannah. It is still such a thing. As Gladys Knight sings, it's such a thing now. It's still love. And when you love, it's going to show. That's another thing. It's going to show. When there is love between two people, it's going to show. There are going to be certain, there's going to be certain earmarks of the love. It's just going to be there. First of all, that he gave her a double portion. So he cared about her feelings. He cared about her. For he loved Hannah, but the Lord had given her no children. And let me tell you, there's no perfect relationship on earth. And this was a woman that he loved, but she could not bear children. And I don't know when he found out, but the thing is, he stayed married to her, but she had no children. She was flawed in a way. But God had a plan. God had a plan. In verse 6, it says, this embarrassed and grieved Hannah, and her rival provoked her greatly to vex her, because the Lord had left her childless. You know, people are cruel. People can be so cruel. And it's a spirit, that's why I say, because Peninnah had everything. She married the man, too. She had the children, and back in that day, if a woman was barren, you know, it was a negative. it was something that was frowned upon. I mean, it was like she was not as good as a woman that bore children. But Hannah was so vexed about the situation. And year after year, it says, year after year, oh, my goodness, I really feel sorry for her. This woman controlled her emotions, no question about it. And like I say, jealousy can be controlled. Before I end this broadcast, I'm going to the scripture to show you that jealousy is a spirit, and it can be a demonic type spirit. Can be. I mean, back in the day of the Mosaic Law, they would take you if a man by the chin, take you and holy water on you, and then well, hello. I'm reconnected. There's a bad storm here, and I was disconnected. But anyway, I was telling you about to read the scripture of Numbers 5:14, the law of jealousy, and it says, if the spirit of jealousy comes